Hello, I'm Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop. It's a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. And there's a new episode every other Friday. So I would really love it if you hit subscribe and tell your friends about it as well, if you enjoy what you hear. Here's a little clip of what's coming up today.
King Arthur was the guy who said of the Archbishop of Lichfield. So there's a bit of link here.
It's almost like we've planned it. We haven't. That's just completely coincidental.
All right, let's go. Hello. It's the 25th of July, 2020. It's 7 in the morning. I'm very tired. But I'm standing outside Derby Cathedral. And the reason for that is I'm leaving Derby today. I am, temporarily at least, moving to Bristol. And I thought, you know, it's a fun journey from Derby to Bristol. I thought it would be a good idea to turn it into a bit of an adventure. So I have asked my good friend James Reynolds to come and join me. I'll be on the Vespa. He'll be driving in a car. We loaded up all my stuff into the car last night. And we're going to drive from Derby to Bristol, sort of in convoy. But along the way, we're going to stop off at 10 different cathedrals and see if we can visit 10 cathedrals in one day. So here I am outside Derby, just waiting for James. And any moment now, I think he's going to appear. In fact, I think this is him just driving in right now. Here he is. Fantastic. All right, I'm going to get out of the way so I don't get killed by him. That'd be a bad start. But what we've done is we've both prepared some facts and figures on the 10 different cathedrals. We've taken 5 each, and we'll just give you a bit of a tour as we go. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. Should be a bit of fun, and hopefully a good experience for the two of us as well. Fantastic. Hello, mate.
Good morning.
Good morning. You alright?
Yeah.
Are you alright to go straight on the mic?
Yeah.
Alright, straight in there.
Choice, really, yeah.
How are you doing this fine morning?
I'm excited, to be honest. Yeah, a little bit tired from kind of packing the car up and everything, getting ready for today. But it's a bit of an adventure. 10 cathedrals, 8 cities. I'm looking forward to exploring it with you. And new beginnings for you. Leaving Derby and seeing where God is leading you.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Are you ready to just dive straight into it?
Sure.
No time like the present, eh?
Yeah,
so, I've prepared some... should we go for a little walk?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to steal our stuff.
Take your helmet.
Oh, thank you. There's no one around, really, this early in the morning. Oh, man, thanks for doing this. This is bonkers. But here we are at Derby Cathedral. So, I've prepared some facts about Derby Cathedral. So, do you want me to hit you with some of those?
Please,
all right, so... Derby Cathedral was originally founded in the 10th century as All Saints Church, and then it was rebuilt in the 14th century. And the main body of this cathedral, this amazing cathedral that we're looking at right now, was actually a Georgian rebuilding. Now, did you know, James, that Derby Cathedral has the oldest ring of 10 bells in the whole world?
No idea.
That's crazy, right?
That should be my tourist fact in the future.
That's mad. The largest bell is 960. By the way, I did all this research this morning, so these facts are slightly random and don't necessarily follow on. The largest bell is 965 kilometres. It's in D flat. Kilometres? kilograms. Oh, I'm so tired. Flipping heck.
This is the first one. This is the first cathedral.
I know. That's deeply worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope you can drive the bike safely.
It's in D flat and it's over 500 years old. And there's a device in the tower called a carillon or carry-on, and it provides a tune at 9 a.m, 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. And it's a different tune each day of the week, and it's kind of automated to put that out into the surrounding neighbourhood. There's some peregrine falcons nesting in the... Did you know that?
I did, nesting
in the tower, which is 212 feet, and to climb to the top, it would be 189 steps. And the final fact that I want to hit you with, because it relates to us, and because we used to go on prayer walks, didn't we? It was a Wednesday morning, and wander around the local neighbourhood and sort of be praying for the neighbourhood. And we came across a blue plaque one day, just around the corner from my house, commemorating someone called Joan Waste.
Yeah.
And she was actually tried here for heresy in 1556, and then she was burned alive just around the corner from my house. So there's a bit of a grisly past to this. But hey, there we go, man. It's the first cathedral.
We're here at Lichfield Cathedral, looking over the beautiful front entrance, which is ornately displayed with, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 people
or more. They're everywhere.
So very, Sam's here. He's made it on his Vespa.
First leg completed. Easy peasy.
How was the journey, Sam?
Yeah, it was lovely. Pretty laid back. Didn't take any risks particularly. I did have some funny overtakes though, because when I try to overtake a lorry, it always takes me about a minute because my top speed isn't that high. So I'm kind of like going faster than them, but only just. So very, very amusing. But yes, this is an incredible cathedral. It's very, very different to Derby, isn't it? Completely different style. It is very Gothic, I guess, isn't it?
You've got it.
Is that, come on then, hit me with some Lichfield facts.
So as we go on this journey, we're taking turns to have researched a bit of history.
Already.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
I missed that.
Good.
Okay, great. So I've got the privilege of explaining a little bit about Lichfield. So some interesting facts for you. Lichfield is the only medieval English cathedral with three spires. So the others that we have are Truro and a church in Edinburgh, but those were built much later in time. It's dedicated to St. Chad and to St. Mary, and we'll find out a bit more about St. Chad later on as we go to Birmingham Catholic Church. But it's a gorgeous sandstone which came from a quarry just south of Lichfield that makes up most of this church. There's some interesting articles inside. I don't know if any of you listeners have been over to Dublin, I think it is, where there's the beautiful coloured gospels held in Trinity College Dublin. But here we have our very own Lichfield Gospels, otherwise known as the Book of Chad, which is Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and an early part of Luke in Latin and early Welsh from about 730, which are held here and displayed from Easter till Christmas. Lichfield's...
Flipping heck, this is good. Very... I'm talking about it at this point.
Lichfield's a special place because about 700 AD, or a little bit before that, the see of the Bishop of Mercia was moved from Repton to here. And the first cathedral was built around that time. And another interesting fact is that for a short period of time, there was a rival archbishopship of Lichfield to the Archbishop of Canterbury around the 8th century, for the time period of one of the kings being there alive. A lot of fighting here in the English Civil War, and I believe the history suggests that this may have been one of the places the first explosive device was used in England to try and fight between the royalists and the parliamentarians.
So we are in the heart of Birmingham right now, and should we go for a little walk around it? So
sure.
We're at St. Philip's Cathedral. in Birmingham, which I guess my first impression looking at it is that it's quite small. It's no offence, but it is quite, it's just quite a small cathedral, which is fine. Do you want me to hit you with some St. Philip's facts?
Please.
Come on then. So, it was built in the early, what century? What century would you guess it was built?
I'm going to say 19th century.
Early 18th century.
18th century.
Close, mate, close. In a Baroque style. It's a very different style to the Gothic architecture of Lichfield. By a guy called Thomas Archer. Now, it's named after St. Philip, obviously, but I find this quite funny because there was a benefactor for this cathedral called Robert Philip, and apparently they named it St. Philip's Cathedral kind of to honour him, kind of to appease him. But I just found that quite funny. So anyway, he donated a lot of money to this and was kind of instrumental in letting this get built, I guess. Now, there's an organ in this cathedral, which, parts of it at least, still date from 1715. Isn't that incredible? Such an ancient organ. Oh, who's this? We've come around the back and we're looking at a statue of Charles Gore. There it is, the first Bishop of Birmingham. And he looks like a fun fella. Nice beard. Let me hit you with some facts about the bells in this cathedral. One of them weighs 1,481 kilograms.
Would you believe it?
It's insane. And all of them together weigh 6,389 kilograms. Now, in World War II, the people of Birmingham had the very good idea of taking the windows out of the cathedral just in case, bombs fell on Birmingham, which is actually what happened. In October 1940, this cathedral was damaged by a bomb. But the windows were preserved and they were put in again after World War II, and they look pretty special. I think that one's a bit more modern, actually, but... But yeah, there we go. Not so many facts on this one. Sorry.
It's nice to be here. We're here with the sunshine. The forecast has been thunderstorms. I, in confidence, brought sun cream in my car and a waterproof. And we've got sunshine right now, so looking hopeful for the rest of the day. So here we are walking down to another part of Birmingham and just crossing the road to St. Chad's Cathedral. Built in 1841, it's called the Metropolitan Cathedral and Basilica of St. Chad. Wow. It's very different, but I quite like it.
I like it a lot. It's red brick. It's quite angular, but there's all these incredible statues on the front, not dissimilar to Lichfield. It's beautiful.
So this church was actually the first Catholic cathedral in Great Britain since, following the Reformation. So following the Reformation in, I think, the 16th century. I don't think there were many Catholic churches in the country. A lot of them were converted to Protestant, or abbeys were destroyed, sadly. And here we have our first cathedral, 1841, designed by a guy called Augustus Pugin, who built the Tower of Big Ben and the Palace of Westminster.
No way!
So we've got a good architect who's designed this as well. And it's a kind of Gothic revival architecture, which, if my facts are right, you have to fact check me on this one, it's similar to Munich Cathedral and Lübert Cathedral. It's a kind of tall, narrow style.
Yeah, I've been to Munich Cathedral, and I can vouch for that.
So Bohem's interesting because it's quite a surprisingly, and it's grown massively for the last 500 years. In kind of 16th century, it was the third largest town in Warwickshire. So it's quite small, 1,000 people. By 1700, it was the fifth largest in England and Wales. Mm. So it grew huge because of trade, whether that's metalwork, leather, just trading in general goods, clothing, major industry. Now, in 1940, during World War II, in November, there was a bomb that fell through the roof, collapsed through the roof, bounced on the floor, and exploded when it hit the central heating pipes. The pipes burst, and that water extinguished the fire, saving the cathedral from destruction. One other interesting thing about this cathedral is it's actually a minor basilica. Now, you might be asking, like I did, what does that mean? It means that you can have the papal coat of arms, or papal coat of arms, above the front door.
You're doing
the papal,
so well.
The papal. Yeah, here we go.
And then you throw in some.
Yeah,
like
wow,
that,
you got
like,
to.
This guy just researched this on Wikipedia last night.
Wow, would I'm you joking. Believe it? I mean, I did actually.
Very good, very good.
But I wasn't just Wikipedia. I went for the church's own history as well, the official history. Yes.
Yeah, very good.
And it also means that I think when the Pope visits, they're allowed to put certain items within the church. Mm. So, but here we are. It's near the Gunmakers' Quarter, which is one of the reasons it was bombed during World War II. Because obviously the Germans were trying to destroy our capability. But it's just pretty. It's, as Sam has said, red brick with kind of sandstone colour, kind of lighter brown colour.
Flourishes.
Yeah, flourishes. Good morning, still morning. We're here in Coventry, time's 10:30, and we're standing inside the ruins of the old cathedral.
Yeah, so this is a pretty unique cathedral. It's actually really two cathedrals. So I'll share a little bit about the history of this amazing place. Coventry's had three cathedrals in the past 1,000 years, and we're standing in the second one. And to our left at the moment, we can see the third one. So the second one was Gothic architecture, built in the 14th century and called St. Michael's Church. And it was devastated by bombs during World War II on the night of 14th of November 1940. And the story goes that the day after that devastating attack on the city of Coventry, people already knew that the cathedral had to be rebuilt, that it was too majestic to be left in sort of rack and ruin. But it did take a bit of time to get it all together. It was consecrated, the rebuilt cathedral was consecrated on the 25th of May 1962. And on the Coventry Cathedral website, it lists that it wasn't an act of defiance, but rather a sign of faith, trust, and hope for the future of the world. Yeah.
I was just talking to my grandfather before,
yeah.
And he's now 96,
wow.
But he lived in Leamington Spa during the World War II, and he remembers the night when those planes flew over. So he was just telling me it was like a full moon, and as soon as the moon came up, the planes flew in, and it wasn't until almost the sun rose the next day the planes flew away. And he remembers a noise not too far from where he lived in Leamington Spa. They had an anti-air gun and also a searchlight which was going out for the night, and he and his mum were hiding in the larder. Now, Leamington Spa wasn't bombed anywhere near as much as Coventry. They had a few bombs near them, but he's just describing how that experience had been. And he was working in Armstrong Whitworth, working to make
Lancaster Bombers helping with those, which is now where Coventry Airport is. So fortunately his workplace wasn't bombed, but so much of this city was, and this cathedral.
So we're standing, I guess, where once there would have been pews, but right now it's just open air. Let's go for a little walk, actually, around this this part of the cathedral. Here in Coventry, they have what they call a Ministry of Peace and Reconciliation. And a big part of... in fact, yeah, just as I've said that, we've arrived at a statue called Reconciliation. And depicting two people, a man and a woman, kind of hugging on their knees. What does it say here? In 1995, 50 years after the end of the Second World War, this sculpture by Josefina de Fran... How do you say that second name?
Vasconcelos.
Vasconcelos, very good. Has been given by Richard Branson as a token of reconciliation. The sculptures remind us that in the face of destructive forces, human dignity and love will triumph over disaster and bring nations together in respect and peace.
There's an identical sculpture in the Peace Garden in Hiroshima in Japan, which was placed there on behalf of the people of Coventry.
That's very powerful, isn't it? And on the right-hand side of the blurb for this sculpture, there's some script, which I'm guessing is in Japanese, probably just saying the same thing. So, and as we turn around, we can see text written where I guess once would have been the altar, and it just says, "Father, forgive." And the story behind this cross in front of those very powerful words is that there was a guy called Jock Forbes, who was a stonemason, and he came into the cathedral shortly after it had been devastated, and he found on the floor some charred roof timbers, that had just fallen to form a cross. So he bound these two timber pieces together and turned it into a cross. Yeah, I mean, I guess for me being here, this is a reminder that we do follow a God who is a reconciler and who can bring reconciliation. And it's just a powerful, for me, it's just a powerful reminder of that gospel message of Christ reconciling humanity to God through what he did on the cross.
Hi, it's James here. I'm just halfway, or maybe two-thirds of the way, to Worcester on our journey south to Bristol, and I've stopped by in Bromsgrove, some random street, to park up for a friend's wedding. With the current climate, a good friend from university has taken a decision to have a virtual wedding. I'm going to hang up now. Yeah, next time I speak to you is in Worcester. And we are in Worcester Cathedral. We're currently sat in the chapter house, which I've been informed is the only circular chapter house in existence. I'm actually whispering because the sound carries so well that there's a large echo if I speak any louder. Sam and I have had an extraordinary experience chatting to one of the guides here, and I now think everything I've prepared is just in shatters, because the guy's like blown our minds with facts around this beautiful cathedral. But to give you a bit of history,
kind of puts our last minute research on Wikipedia into perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. So Worcester Cathedral was founded in 680, and it would have been made in wood initially. But in 980, I believe a man called Oswald, who founded it as a monastery, was an abbey. And then the present building comes from about that age, from about 1084, through to a little bit later. The church is dedicated to St. Peter and St. Paul. and King John, who's the brother of Richard the Lionheart, died in Newark Castle over in Nottinghamshire, but his body was taken to this cathedral, to Worcester, and was buried here. So we might better go and see him a bit later. I've also got in my research that a guy called Hugh Latimer was Bishop of Worcester for some time, and his name's he's one of the individuals who was burnt, I think, in Oxford for confessing Protestant faith.
Hi, good afternoon now. We're here in Hereford, and as the guest host, I'm here with Sam as our local guide.
I love it.
Who's going to tell us a bit about the history of this fantastic cathedral.
Hello, my name's Sam. I've lived in Hereford all my life, so I just happen to know that this is... I'm giving it away. Okay, so Hereford Cathedral, which is what we're standing in front of right now. Very impressive, first of all. I think that's my first sort of remark I want to make. It's very chunky. It has a sense of sort of heft to it. I'm very tired. Yes, it has got multiple layers.
Very large central tower.
Yep. Oh, here we go. Can we hear that? Yeah, let's walk and talk. So yeah, the Bishop's Chapel survives, but other than that, bits have been added on throughout history, really. So you'll see lots of different styles of brickwork.
If you were to visit here.
Yes, of course. So, do you want to hear some cool facts?
Oh, I really want to. Yeah, I've been waiting. I've been driving all this way for all these facts. So I hope they're good.
Can I just point out?
Oh, wow, it's huge.
That guy's robes are awesome.
Yeah.
There's a guy in front of us wearing
full blue outfit.
Full blue robes. Very cool.
Stained glass windows.
Yes.
Huge, yeah.
Huge, huge deal in many churches. So, yeah, let's follow the guy. I feel like he owns the place. Maybe, is he a friar? Not sure. So, James, in 794, King Ethelbert of the East Angles asked to marry the daughter of King Offa of Mercia.
Ah.
But it didn't go down particularly well because he got killed. And it was possibly set up by the king or possibly the queen. And he is actually buried here.
The King Offa?
No, the guy that was killed.
Ah.
King Ethelbert. So he was made it.
King Offa was the guy. He said it, the Archbishop of Lichfield. So there's a bit of link here.
It's almost like we've planned it. We haven't. That's just completely coincidental.
Wow,
but Ethelbert was made a saint, and this church is named after him. This cathedral houses the largest surviving chained library in the world. Do you know what a chain library is? Okay, so a chained library was a thing where it was a library.
Did they lock you to the floor so that you couldn't steal books?
So the way it works is the books all have chains attached to them, and you can go into the library and you can take a book down from the shelf and take it to the table. You know, the chain will stretch that far, but it just means that you're not able to nick it. So, quite a clever little idea, and they were very popular at the time, not so much anymore. But the largest surviving example of a chained library is found right here.
In the cathedral itself?
I don't know.
I'm here looking at Gloucester Cathedral. I mean, to be honest, the bit we're looking at looks pretty new. It looks like they've sanded it down. So one of Sam's criticisms before another cathedral was it's all dark and brown. It looks like they've actually come along and sanded it. Now that Sam sees what it's like, he prefers the older, uncleaned version, I think.
It's just a bit too pristine.
It looks a bit like a sandcastle. But I mean, it is, I'm sure, beautiful inside, and I've been inside, so I can attest to that. But
I would like, just for the record, I do think this is a lovely cathedral. It's just this side is very, it's a bit too clean almost.
So anyway, this cathedral was founded in the 7th century. It was built over Roman foundations from wood, then to stone. It's called St. Peter's Abbey until it became a cathedral in 1541 after the dissolution of a lot of the monasteries across the country. A couple of interesting facts here. Little known fact, the Doomsday Book was ordered. So William the Conqueror ordered the Doomsday Book at Christmas in 1085 from Gloucester Cathedral. So if you ever want to surprise someone with your knowledge, local knowledge, if you're ever in Gloucester, you can pull that one out. And then another one is King Edward II was buried here. He was an unfortunate king, and he was killed in a very nasty way in Berkeley Castle, just down the road. So these are a couple of facts for us for Gloucester Cathedral. I think some of the cloisters here are actually used in one of the Harry Potter films. Really, really gorgeous. We can't go in, unfortunately, because it's shut, but
it's got a certain, we can kind of imagine. Hogwarts feel to it, hasn't it? The bit we're standing in right now.
Yeah, we've moved around from the sandcastle-esque style, and we're now in a what seems a very ancient part.
We are at Clifton Cathedral, which is the penultimate cathedral on our trip. And you were saying that you think it's a bit dull on the outside.
I think so. I mean, it effectively looks like kind of a dull red concrete slab all the way up to the top. And three pillars rising from the centre.
Well, I hope they don't have CCTV that picks up audio, because they'll be very offended if they hear that. But
well, maybe they'll invite us in on a secret tour to allow us to see the beauty.
I think it's quite an interesting design, but yeah, it's not to everyone's liking, I imagine. Do you want me to give you some facts about Clifton Cathedral, James?
Yeah, please do.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So Clifton Cathedral was consecrated. So it's a Roman Catholic cathedral, first of all. It's the second Catholic cathedral that we've seen today. And it was consecrated in June 1973. And it's built in a modern, late Brutalist style.
Brutalist, I think that describes it.
Well, that is the architectural design of it. It's using lots of concrete, lots of exposed kind of building materials, and you've got these kind of very angular columns jutting out. The whole thing is built around the shape of a hexagon, and there's lots of hexagons actually woven into the design itself. So you can see here there's a hexagon, another one there,
even
and
on the
all
doors,
round.
The door handle,
exactly.
Is a hexagon.
Yeah. So it was the first cathedral built under new guidelines arising from the Second Vatican Council. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
I don't know what exactly what happened in the Second Vatican Council, but
neither do I. I'm sure it was very significant. And
cathedral design.
And this was the first in the world to be built after that.
There you go.
Huge.
Fame.
Huge. It was built by a guy called, well, it was designed at least by a guy called Ronald Weeks, in partnership with Percy Thomas Partnership, which is an architectural firm. And they were responsible for the Wales Millennium Centre in Cardiff. Have you seen that kind of copper building in Cardiff?
A future trip to Cardiff, maybe.
Quite possibly. And yeah, I think it's a pretty incredible design. It's a shame we can't actually get into it, because I looked at some pictures and it looks just really, really stunning. For example, there's one thing that they've done with the design where there's more daylight the further you get into the church. So the altar has lots of daylight falling on it, but further back it's more dark. So it creates this sense of almost you're sort of stepping out of the darkness into the light, which is obviously very symbolic. And I learned another word as well when I was researching this, which is narthex, which is that thing you were looking at just in there, you know, the stained glass.
Describe the,
So it's a kind of wall of stained glass, and the idea with the narthex, you can see you'd come in through here, and James, it goes all the way around there. The idea is that you're moving from the hustle and bustle of daily life into a more reflective, contemplative space. All right, we are on, and we are standing outside Bristol Cathedral, the 10th Cathedral. Take it away, James.
Yeah, here we are, finally.
I'm so tired.
It's been an epic adventure. I'm full of energy. I'm pumped. Sam is at the end of his tether. So here we are at Bristol Cathedral. For those who are interested in some interesting history facts, it's a cathedral from an abbey of the 12th century, from a prosperous and growing merchant town. Legend has it the site goes back to St. Augustine of Canterbury. Walking and having a conversation or something like that, maybe preaching on the foundations. And some of it still stands from 1140 when the foundations began. Just reading a little bit more because my handwriting is particularly
dreadful.
Awful.
What is going on?
So the church is dedicated to the Holy and Undivided Trinity.
It's an amazing church.
It's really beautiful. I think it's one of the top. It's definitely up there. One of the interesting facts around this cathedral is that it was founded by a rich merchant called Robert Fitzharding, who eventually picked up the title Lord Berkeley. And I think that might be linked to the Berkeley family from Berkeley Castle and many other of the Berkeley stories, which you might want to research. In 1831, there was riots here at Bristol linked to a rejection of a second reform bill in the House of Lords, which was trying to get rid of some of the rotten boroughs and give better and greater representation to some of the emerging cities, Bristol, Manchester, Birmingham, Bradford, Leeds. At the time, 6,000 of the 104,000 population could actually vote. And so there were riots all around Bristol, of which some damage was taken to the cathedral. Obviously that's been, well, I hope that has been repaired by now. I think it has.
It's looking pretty tippy-top to me.
And here we are at the final of the 10.
Oh man, it's been a good day. It's been a long day. I'm feeling the length of this day right now, but it has been so awesome, to be honest, traveling across the country. It's the next day, Sunday, day after our epic journey from Derby to Bristol. And
you feeling a bit more energised?
I'm feeling a lot more energised. Yeah, to be honest, by the end yesterday, I was getting tired. We're just sitting in my parents' garden, and James is heading off back to Derby this afternoon. But I was just wondering, do you have any kind of reflections on what we did yesterday? Now that you look back on it.
Well, I mean, I think it's a great way to make a journey and move, and making it about visiting cathedrals, places of worship, where people have worshipped for hundreds, in some cases, 1,000 years. It is really quite special being able to stop at these places and reflect on that as we're just kind of passers-by. Maybe, I don't know, like leaving a footprint in the sand as you walk along. That will be washed away shortly after, just there, briefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. That idea that, yeah, there's been people coming to these places and worshipping for hundreds and, yeah, thousands of years is pretty incredible, isn't it? So, yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for taking the time. And many thanks to Johnny Davies for creating the theme music and to Thomas Thorogood for making the jingles. Thomas Thorogood is actually just looking at me right now and grinning. So many thanks to him for the lovely little jingles you've been hearing. Please make sure that you've subscribed if you haven't already. There's a new episode every other Friday, so would love for you to hear about those. But until I next speak to you, God bless and stay safe.